This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Indeed, all praise belongs to Allah the Most High. We thank Him and we seek His aid and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge with Him from the evil of ourselves and from the evil of our bad actions. Whoever Allah guides, then there is no one who can mislead him, and whoever Allah causes to go astray, then there is no one to guide him. And I bear witness, we bear witness that there is no deity except Allah who is unique and without partners, and I bear witness that Muhammad is His worshiper and His messenger. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and his companions and his family and those who follow them with good intentions until the day of judgment. O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared and don't die except as Muslims. Again, O you who believe, fear Allah as He should be feared and don't die except as Muslims. And O mankind, be careful of your duty to your Rabb who created you from a single soul and from it created its mate. And from the two of them, He spread forth many men and many women. Be careful of your duty to Allah whom you demand your mutual rights and be careful of your duty to the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is our Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and always speak the truth. He will cause your deeds to be beneficial and He will forgive for you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His messenger, then he has truly achieved a tremendous accomplishment. Indeed, the best speech is the book of Allah and the best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of all affairs are newly invented matters which has no precedence in Islam. And indeed, all innovations are astray and each astray is in the hellfire. O Allah, save us from it. O Allah, accept our dua. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Allah says in the Quran, and hasten to forgiveness from your Lord and a garden whose width is that of the heavens and the earth, prepared for the God-fearing, who spend in times of ease and times of hardship, who restrain their anger and who pardon people. And Allah loves those who do good. That's from Surah Imran. And when we look at all the attributes of Allah, the 99 attributes that we know of, none of them are the angry one. And so we have to look at the fact that Allah, and even in every chapter of the Quran, talks about how it starts off with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, every chapter except one, the beneficent and the merciful. You know, and so we have to understand that Allah calls us to that, the attributes that He has given us. We want to be at least a microcosm of each attribute. We want to be merciful. We want to be forgiving. We want to be patient. You know, we want to be of those who are basically being the healthy servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a part of that is controlling our emotions in all times. It's essential to control our emotions. Sulaiman ibn Sa'd said, radiallahu anhu, I was sitting with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and two men were slandering one another. One of them was red in the face, and the veins on his neck were standing out. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I know of a word that if he were to say it, what he feels would go away. If he said it, I seek refuge with Allah from the shaitan, or a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. What he feels in his heart or the anger will go away. And that's, again, a hadith from Bukhari. And the Prophet also said, peace be upon him, that if a man gets angry, say, again, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, I seek refuge with Allah, you know, from the shaitan. His anger will go away. He also said, if one becomes angry, let him keep silent. Let him keep silent. These are all sahih hadith. And these particular hadith, when you look at them, people would have to get a PhD in anger management today to promote the wisdom that's printed in these hadith that I've read today. And so we have to recognize that anger is shaitan's intoxicant. He gets us drunk. The Messenger of Allah also said, you know, when you get angry, and if any of you one gets angry, if he is standing, let him sit down so that his anger will go away. And in some hadith it says that, you know, if you're standing, sit down. And if you're sitting down, lay down. If you're laying down, go to sleep. You know, in other words, to allow yourself to marinate and take look at what you need to be doing so that you can the anger can subside. Because anger, again, in anger management, what's taught is there's an adrenaline rush when you get angry. And then when the anger subsides, there's an endorphin release. And I tell some of my clients that anger is like a person using meth on one end and heroin on the other end. And so people who have a propensity for anger, they basically look for that type of rush. And that's why it's easy for people to get angry. And again, the scientists have talked about this over the past 1,000 years. And again, the Prophet, peace be upon him, gave it to us for over 1,400 years ago. And so we have to learn to control our emotions. And what we witnessed last week in regards to the television show, the Oscars, with the slap that was heard around the world, it was an example of unchecked anger. And it's also an example of a lack of emotional intelligence. And emotional intelligence, from a psychological perspective, is controlling your emotions in any type of situation, in all situations. And it's the ability to control yourself. And it doesn't matter what's going on. A person can be in the heat of battle and be able to check their emotions, you know, or if a person is getting offended. And there was a story when the Prophet, peace be upon him, was sitting with a man, and the man, another man was berating him. And the man sat quietly. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, was smiling, you know. And then the man started to defend himself. And then all of a sudden, the Prophet, peace be upon him, he frowned. And then the man talked to the Prophet, peace be upon him, later. And when he talked to him, he said, well, when this man was berating me, you know, you were smiling. But when I started to defend myself, then, you know, you frowned and you left. And he said, well, when you remained quiet, there were angels. There were angels surrounding you, making do it for you for the most part. And so, and then when you started to defend yourself, they left. And so that's the importance of recognizing how anger can cause us to engage in behaviors that are uncharacteristic. You know, the man, one of the men, they're both known as basically gentle spirits for the most part, you know, but then Shaitan got in and became a worldwide issue on dealing with anger. And so we have to recognize that anger is something that can cause, you know, people to, again, just jump out of character. And the Prophet, peace be upon him, has said that he only came to change character. He says that whoever controls anger at the time when he has the means to act upon it, Allah will fill his heart with contentment on the day of resurrection. Again, whoever controls his anger at the time when he has the means to act upon it, Allah will fill his heart with contentment on the day of resurrection. And also he said that, you know, the man said, I thought about, you know, what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, and I recognize that anger combines all kinds of evil. You know, and so these are some of the things that we have to recognize as Muslims. And one great saying that we're all familiar with, that the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace be upon him, said that the strong man or the strong person is not the one who can overpower others in wrestling. Rather, the strong person is the one who can control themselves when they get angry. And again, that's a Sahih Hadith, that's a Ahmed Hadith. You know, as Muslims, you know, we have a unique responsibility. You know, we must represent the Prophet, peace be upon him, at all times. We have to represent him in all times. And how do we represent him? Through the character. I remember seeing a person who, you know, he wasn't obviously Muslim. You know, there's a saying that the Prophet said, the best who, when seen, remind of Allah. And I gave the man, he was, you know, dressed up in a suit and tie, and I gave him salams. And he looked at me and said, how did you know I was a Muslim? You know, and I said, I saw the nur in your face, you know, and he just smiled, you know. And that's the whole thing, is that no matter, you know, what we do, and we have to represent the Prophet, peace be upon him, in the behavior and in character and how we deal in business and how we deal with each other, how we deal with our families, how we deal on the jobs. We have to be a Muslim 24/7, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We all have the same 168 hours in the week. And even in sleeping, we make the dua. We make the dua when we go to sleep, we make the dua when we get up. You know, we measure our days, you know, by the different prayers. I'll see you after Dhuhr. I'll see you after Fajr. I will do this. You know, we basically start to internalize the concepts of Islam as we grow in Islam. And we're on the cusp of Ramadan. We're on the cusp of Ramadan. And it's not so much about stopping the food, the intake of food and water, but we have to also basically change our behaviors. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, you know, if, again, a person is still engaging in bad behaviors, Allah is not in need of their fast. He's not in need of that fast if you're still engaging in the behaviors. So we look at Ramadan as a means of allowing ourselves to improve our character. These are some of the things that we have to do in representing the Prophet's mission, peace be upon him. You know, again, his mission was to save as much of mankind as possible from the hellfire. You know, and, you know, the fire is one that consumes fire. You know, and so he said, you know, he will change the character of the people, help change the character of the people. And in essence, you know, he was dealing with people, some of the worst people on the planet at that time. You know, everything was about intoxicants. They were derogatory towards women. You know, basically they were derogatory towards each other and people who didn't look like them. Because if you look at the Prophet's last sermon, peace be upon them, he talked about racism. He talked about, you know how, you know, again, the black is no more superior than the white, and the white no more superior than the black, and the Arab is no more superior than the non-Arab, nor the non-Arab no more superior than the Arab, except by taqwa, except by, you know, that good conduct. Good conduct. And so no matter what our race, and because the scientists say that all of the race is only like less than 1% of who we are in humanity. You know, biologically, from a scientific perspective, just 1% is the difference between, less than 1% is the difference between all of mankind. Less than 1%. And so we have to recognize that race is a social construct. So we have to be of those who are working on changing ourselves, and in essence, we help to change the world. And if I've said anything that's inconsistent with what Allah has given us and the Prophet, peace be upon him, has taught us to take responsibility for that. And if I've said anything in which you have gained some new insight, as always, all praise belongs to Allah. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la lahu mulku wa lahu hamdu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. And again, the Prophet's mission was to convince mankind of the uniqueness, the oneness of Allah. You know, his mission was also to teach, again, that what is codified in the Quran, is just as valid as the previous scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And you have to recognize that the Quran is the last testament. It's the last testament. And so we have to be of those to promote that message. You know, because again, we live in a society that's primarily composed of, I say, not yet Muslims. And we live in a diverse society living in this country. And so we have to be able to recognize the pluralism of the society and recognize, you know, that we have family members for the most part. I know in my family, you know, we have people who are Christians, and you have people who are people of the Jewish faith, and you have people who are of different faiths. And so as Muslims, we have to recognize that the Prophet, peace be upon him, lived in a similar society. He lived in a very diverse society. And so we can't be of those that recognize that we have the only way, we are the only ones. You know, we have to be of those to promote this message. Be of those who promote this message. And also, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, you know, that I only have been sent to perfect good moral character. And all the prophets, peace be upon all of them, taught this message, whether it's Moses, whether it's Jesus, peace be upon him, whether it's Suleiman, all of the prophets taught this message about, you know, just being the best that we can be as human beings. Again, we're on the cusp of Ramadan, and it's important for us to benefit from the blessings of Ramadan. And it was during Ramadan, well over 1400 years ago, that the Quran was revealed. And so we're gonna fast for 29 or 30 days. If we get a sighting tonight, you know, we'll start tomorrow. For many people, if whether it's calculated, some people will start tomorrow, some people will start Sunday. You know, so, but we have to recognize that it is not just an opportunity to lose weight. It is an opportunity to basically lose the weight of sins. It's an opportunity to get rid of sins. And again, Allah says that the month of Ramadan, in which the Quran was sent down as a guide to mankind and a clear guidance and judgment, so that mankind will distinguish between right and wrong, so that mankind can distinguish between right and wrong. So if we're not consumed with food and seeking water and seeking the relationships with our mates, then we can reflect on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can reflect and basically direct our energies to changing ourselves, looking at Ramadan as a mirror, that it's an opportunity to look at ourselves without being influenced by the shaitan, because the shaitans are locked up in chains. And so it gives us an opportunity to see who we really are. Allah also says, "Oh, you believe, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those, to those who before you, that you may learn piety and righteousness." You know, again, you know, we have to work on character reformation. And again, character reformation, it means that we have to make qualitative changes in ourselves. None of us are ever perfect. The only perfect entity in existence is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of us have faults. All of us have faults. And so each year we want to look at what we need to do an inventory. You know, there's a concept in the 12-step community. It talks about making a fearless and personal inventory. And so we have to do that. And that's Ramadan's an opportunity for us to take inventory. Okay, what character defects do I need to get rid of? You know, have I been getting angry? Have I been less forgiving? You know, have I been less charitable? We have to be of those who use Ramadan as an opportunity to change ourselves. And again, one of the major rules of the Prophet, peace be upon him, was to improve the character. You know, again, you know, we have to accomplish as much as we can during Ramadan. It's not just an opportunity of sleeping. I remember living in the Middle East in Saudi Arabia, and especially the young people, they would sleep all day. You know, they would sleep all and then just wake up just in time, you know, to break the fast and lose the benefits of the whole fast. I remember one guy, I worked in an addiction hospital in Saudi Arabia, and one guy was smoking in the closet during the time he was supposed to be fasting. And I looked at him, I said, "Well, who are you hiding from? Your fasting is for Allah." And Allah see you in that closet smoking cigarettes. You know, and so we have to not only just educate the not yet Muslims, but sometimes we have to educate the Muslims on the importance of internalizing this deen, you know. And so when we learn the true concepts of and the true benefits of Ramadan, you know, it helps us to be more empathetic towards people. You know, it helps us to be more charitable. You know, it allows us to, again, be more empathetic. You know, and it also allows us to recognize the people who are struggling throughout the planet and be more, again, more empathetic. And so, but it also allows us to develop some self-restraint. And also it is the fuel for that character reformation. And so, again, let us use this time when Ramadan comes to not only become more familiar with the Quran and not just with the Salat al-Tarawih. You know, we have to basically read it and start to understand it. And if we don't read Arabic, you know, read the translations. They can give you a good message. It's not about just memorization. It's about internalization. And so we have to, once we get the internalization, it leads to actualization. You'll see a change in your behavior. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Likewise, we have sent unto you the messenger, you know, from among ourselves, from yourselves, who recites unto you our revelations and purifies you and teaches you what the scripture and the wisdom and teaches you that which you did not know." Again, it says, teaches you scripture and wisdom and teaches you that which you did not know. And that's from Baqarah, ayat 151. Again, the only time we have the right to just be angry, and as the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, when the man said, advise me, he said three times, "Don't get angry, don't get angry, don't get angry." You know, he said, you know, unless we see an injustice. And so, and we can use anger. I always tell people that both Al-Hajj, Malik al-Shabazz, Malcolm X, and Martin Luther King were probably equally angry, you know, but one went towards passive resistance, the other one sought active resistance. And so anger is a fuel. George Washington, he was angry. You know, so people, you have to use anger as a fuel to for change. And it doesn't have to be destructive. It's just like with gasoline. You know, we can use gasoline to fuel our vehicles and go from one place to another, or we can use gasoline to destroy things. You know, so we have to, again, recognize just anger is just a fuel, and it allows us, it teaches us that something is wrong. And so during this month, we want to learn how to, you know, recognize anger within our own selves, and then also learn how to make it subside. Because again, as Allah says, fasting is prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those who before you, that you may learn or attain taqwa, self-restraint. And again, the most honored by Allah amongst you are those best in taqwa. and it is better for you that you fast, if you only knew, if you only knew. And again, if I've said anything in which is inconsistent with what Allah has given us, I take full responsibility for that. And if I've said anything in which you have gained some new knowledge or wisdom, then all praise is due to Allah. ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت والذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تهمنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين. Our Lord, take us not to task if we forget or fall into error. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden such as you did lay on those who have gone before us. Our Lord, lay not on us a burden which we do not have the power to bear, and overlook our faults and forgive us and have mercy on us. You are our guardian and protector, so grant us the victory over those who disbelieve.